Episode 150 of the TV Dudes podcast, recorded September 21st, 2017.
I'll take Wiener.
Kyle,
mm-hmm.
We did a little experiment over the weekend.
Yeah.
We did a little bit of...
You guys going to talk about that on mic?
We did a little bit of experimenting.
Yeah.
You know, just a pinch. I was curious.
When you're of a certain age,
yep.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. you have the opportunity, you dabble in a little bit of experimentation.
Yeah, sure.
You know, there's just a couple mics sitting there, and next thing you know, a camera's on.
Yeah. No, we've all been there.
So, if you guys tuned in on Sunday night... We attempted our first live, it was a second, I guess.
Yeah, but it was a little delayed.
It was a little bit more robust than the one we did previously. But we did a live broadcast over on YouTube
mm-hmm.
of us watching the Emmys.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what I think about the Emmys?
Of course, because you were there telling us.
We missed hearing you say it.
Fuck the Emmys.
There we go. So Kyle and I, we did a little live streaming. Over mm-hmm. there at his house, and it got a lot of views, and I'm not really sure why, because it kind of wasn't that great.
Well, you know, I went back and I looked, and there wasn't a lot of people live streaming the Emmys, but we were one of the top search rank results when you just do, like, Emmys live stream.
Really?
Yeah, so I think we just kind of beat some other people to it.
I mean, it's not like we got, like, gangbuster numbers, but
yeah,
we did have a couple fans that like tuned in were engaged with us. They were talking to us, asking questions. We were talking back
that
and forth.
Fun.
It was pretty cool. And that was more than I expected for kind of a last minute thrown together experiment. But also we learned a lot about the setup, about doing two cameras, talking back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a neat experience. Randy, you didn't see any of the Emmys, but I'm sure you read some little post Emmys stuff.
I heard, I don't know if this is true, that Sean Spicer was at the Emmys.
Maybe it was him. Maybe it was...
Melissa McCarthy?
Except we saw both of them on camera
mm-hmm.
toggling back and forth.
Mm.
And I doubt Melissa McCarthy would have stood there like a deer in headlights with that look of, oh, why did I do this? This is a bad idea.
I recall that when we saw that happen, where he pops up on stage, we're all like, what?
What the fuck is he doing here? Yeah.
What's the context? We were talking the whole time. We didn't even hear what happened. People are laughing. I don't know what's going on. He kind of rolls up, and then he like rolls off, and like people are kind of like awkward laughing, clapping, but I don't know.
The joke was that everybody was just so skeeved out that he was there. So he comes on stage, and then they just start cutting to everybody. Melissa McCarthy, she's got her hands in her face. She doesn't want to look at anybody. Everybody else, they're laughing. They got their jaws on the ground. Like, it was literally just like kind of a shock value thing. Like pulling out your wiener on stage.
I'd rather they had pulled out their wiener on stage.
That'd have been cool.
Anthony Wiener?
Yes, Anthony Wiener.
Ugh. Don't bring him back either.
If it's him or Spicer, fuck yeah. Take Wiener. I'll take Wiener. You heard me.
And stop the recording. I got it.
Damn it.
We got all the evidence we needed.
Mission accomplished.
I guess Grant has his new ringtone.
Randy, could you do me a favor and just say that one more time so I have the title of this episode?
I'll take Wiener.
Hey, folks, we are the TV Dudes. I'm Grant.
I'm Randy.
And I'm Kyle.
And this week, we're talking about Wiener, actually. We're talking about American Vandal, the new faux documentary over on Netflix. We're talking about Better Things, which is back for its second season. And that's on FX. And Broad City on Comedy Central.
Which you don't know what season it is.
I don't know.
I see that look in your eyes.
Fourth?
I think it's season three or four. I don't remember.
Yeah,
I think it's season four.
Trying to put me on blast. You don't know.
You're the guy who has all the organization. You should have it in front of you like a massive computer.
I wasn't gonna say what season for these things.
Count the web series as the official season.
Kyle has
one,
a good point.
Or the Comedy Central series, because it could be a higher number.
Kyle's got a good point.
Ah,
season 12.
In your face, Randy. In your face.
I am chastened. I'll take Wiener.
You'll take Wiener.
I'll take Wiener in my face.
I gotta stop. We gotta. Hey, If you guys like what you're hearing, first off, why? Yeah, why? That's our question there. Second off, there's a way you can help support us and keep the lights running, keep the studio that we are in happy and humming. And that is go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. There you can make a per episode pledge. I know you've been waffling on this decision. You're like, should I? I kind of like this show.
Just do it.
I'm laying low. Yeah.
Just do it.
It's a great opportunity right now. $1 an episode. That is $4 a month. Kind of one of the cheapest deals, and you know that you're supporting a small, independent, completely funded by the listener support show like this. So yeah, patreon.com/TV Dudes. We appreciate all of your support. Oh, and in exchange, we do a little bonus exclusive content.
We do. Sometimes we talk. Last week we talked about awful things.
Yeah,
awful things.
We talked about awful things. Things that made us grumpy. Maybe this week we'll talk about puppies for 30 minutes.
We might.
Hey, yeah. I like puppies.
Yeah. Everyone loves puppies. Okay, another way you guys can help us is go to iTunes, give a 5-star rating, and write a review. I usually pimp that for this show, but you know what? I want to pimp another show that we have coming out really soon. This is our Star Trek Discovery pod Permanent Record.
Permanent Record.
There it is.
I did the wrong sound effect this time. I was like, Star Trek sound effect.
So myself, Ashley, fellow TV dude Ashley, as well as our overlord of Permanent Record, Mike Moody. And our buddy Clyde from Key and Clyde. We four are doing a Star Trek Discovery watch-along podcast. So each episode we're going to discuss while we're watching it. You can check us out at StarTrekPod.com. But also, what would really help us out right now is if you guys go look up Star Trek Discovery Pod on iTunes, go and subscribe, even if you don't plan on listening, subscribe and just give us a quick 5-star rating, write a review. What happens is if we get a good early bump that helps us get more exposure to get a bigger audience and kind of a steamroll effect. So if you guys also want to listen, that's great. But it would really help us out if you guys go and do that. Once again, that's Star Trek Discovery Pod, and you can check that out at StarTrekPod.com.
Grant, what's a Cardassian?
That's I know. Do they have anything to do with Star Trek?
Yes, they do.
The Kardashians?
The Kardashians.
Wait, what did you say?
The Kardassian.
It's two S's.
It's an alien race, two S's, yes.
I don't know. I honestly have no clue.
I'm sorry, but you doing a Star Trek podcast when you know nothing about Star Trek is never going to stop being funny to me.
That's the whole reason I'm on it.
It's never going to stop being funny to me, and I'm not going to lie, people. I don't listen to all our podcasts. I don't have that much time. I don't listen to it all the time. I am 100% listening to the Star Trek Discovery podcast because I want to listen to Ashley berate Grant for not knowing Star Trek.
I'm so out of my element on this one. Yeah, okay. Thanks, guys. Go check that out. And let's move on to listener questions. So if you guys like us on Facebook and you like us, you can like us on Twitter as well.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, live your life, guys.
Like us on Instagram. Like us on Skype.
Just like us.
We just need validation.
Just like us.
But if you guys like us on Facebook, once a week we will put up questions. That's facebook.com/TV Dudes. Our first question comes to us. It's a last question. This is coming from Alec Miracle.
Alec.
In Lost Season 5, spoilers, there's a point where our character's plausibility, he gives another little winky face, we're very thematic this episode, guys, goes through time, which is awesome. By the way, the moment Ben turns the wheel is one of my favorite moments of the whole series. While being on the island, if you could choose to be stuck in a particular time frame seen on the show, from Jacob's Roman time, the Egyptian time, hence the ruins and the statue of Tararet, or the present, etc., maybe the 70s as well, when would you be? Keep in mind, if you choose the present, you'd be choosing the fate of most of the characters on the show and not knowing if you escape the island and or probably being killed by the Man in Black.
Grant, I know you've thought about this.
I would take the 70s when it was like a cool hippie colony where there's food, there's protection, lighting.
Of course you would, and that's the answer I would give as well. That's the place you would go, right?
It's the most like ideal time.
Where would you go? The 70s, Kyle?
I'd want to do the 60s, so when everybody showed up in the 70s, I could be like, this place ain't cool anymore. Was cool.
Been there. I already explored all that area.
Yeah. I'm found it. Now, guys. I'm found.
There's some dope waterfalls over there. This is a great area for a Jack Falcon punch if you guys ever get an opportunity. Mm-hmm.
I definitely hide my drug plane in this tree.
Really ideal for it. Kyle Volte says, hey dudes, with the new fall season upon us, what returning sophomore shows, that is shows starting their second season, are you looking forward to the most, and which ones are you shocked are returning?
I'm looking forward to The Good Place.
The Good Place.
Like, right? I can't wait for The Good Place. I rewatched The Good Place.
It's Riverdale, I'm sure you're super excited for.
Super excited for Riverdale. I don't actually remember what happened at the end of Riverdale. I didn't watch the rest of Riverdale.
We're talking about one tonight, Better Things. I'm really excited about that.
Come back.
I don't know if they are coming back this year. I hope they are. But High Maintenance, that's another one. One of my favorite shows of last year.
What about Lethal Weapon, Kyle?
Oh, forgot about Lethal Weapon. Dude, I did. No lie. I marathoned it a second time. So I've literally seen every episode of Lethal Weapon twice now.
Oh, man.
Wow.
That is embarrassing.
Grant, you got any second season shows?
No, I mean, mine's The Good Place.
Good Place. All right.
Absolutely. 100%.
Is there anything where Shocked has come back? Like, I feel like there should be, but all the bad stuff just falls away for me. Like, I don't ever notice it.
Shocked? Yeah. I mean, I just don't watch whatever comes out. Like, I realize, The Strain that gets like three or four seasons, I checked out after the first one. I was surprised with that, I guess.
I mean, I'm going to be surprised when I hear that Hawaii Five-0 is still on. It's still on, right?
I think so.
I mean, that's the thing. It's not the sophomore seasons that surprised me. It's that show's still on? It's been 8 years.
How are they doing that? Michael Giustini asks, with Watchmen being officially greenlit at HBO, by the way, we're going to discuss this on the news, unless his question dictates we're going to talk about fully.
No, I'm deleting it now. That's it.
he says, what are the chances that it will manage to top Zack Snyder's great film?
And don't bait me, Michael.
yeah, you read that right. I actually really like the adaptation, having not read the comic before seeing it. Now he gets all confrontational here. What changes from the movie and or the comic would you like to see, and which actors would you cast? Should they take the preacher route and only use the comic as reference to tell different stories?
Permission to treat the witness as hostile. Okay, look.
Granted.
First of all, Watchmen as a comic is the best version of the Watchmen. It's always going to be the best version, and we just got to start from there. And Zack Snyder's movie is not terrible. That's why we'll grant you. We can have a meeting there.
Visually, it's pretty.
Yeah. But the changes I want, I would like less punching and more story. They really went in for like the super like loud punching and violence of Watchmen, and like
they glorified the machismo aspect rather than delving into the bigger like ramifications like politically and socially of these unchecked powers.
The Watchmen is a deconstruction. It's a deconstruction of 80s power structures and also of the superhero genre, and none of that's in the movie. And so that's what I would like. I would like them to get at the sort of genre elements and that kind of thing. And so if they're going to do it, I would like them to do the flashbacks. I would like them to go ahead and do – I mean, I don't know if Lindelof is comfortable doing flashback type things. but
bread
I would like,
and butter.
I would love to see like the main story taking place, like the murder mystery as the main story, and then flashing back just like the graphic novels do. And if they want to sort of rearrange it, Alan Moore is not a guy who does like linear storytelling that much. He Watchmen's one of those linear things he did. But I would like to see them go back and basically like put all of the story of the Hooded Justice, like put that together so I can see it. Put all this, maybe do a flashback to just that and tell that story. I do not want them to take the Preacher route because I don't like what they've done with Preacher.
That's a good point, except like I appreciate that Preacher's doing a little bit more of a modern update.
Sure.
Like I can't see this trying to pick back up with Watchmen, which took place in like what, the late 80s?
It was in the 80s.
Yeah. I can't see this trying to approach it from that same era.
You don't think this is gonna be a period piece?
I wouldn't guess.
I would hope it would be.
I don't think it'll work if you try to update. Like, Vietnam is not Desert Storm. And Vietnam is very important to the Watchmen story.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
you can't. I don't think you can do Watchmen. It's not, I mean, maybe they're going to try, but I can't imagine a Watchmen that isn't a period piece that will work.
Yeah. Instead of Vietnam, it'll be Kandahar.
I mean, I would at least trust that in Lindelof's hands, he will think through the weight of certain story elements a little bit more meticulously than Zack Snyder, and he will if he does decide to update and adjust and change things like that, it will be a conscientious move with equal weight put into how he translates that to a modern era.
Yeah, I agree. I'm pretty confident in Lindelof's ability to do this.
I need the pirate story.
I kind of want the pirate story.
As an allegory thing?
Because they didn't do it in the... they didn't properly do it in the movie. I mean, they did it as an animated thing. I would love to see them try to incorporate it, but I don't need it, but I'd love it if they could do it. You know what else I really need? It's really important to me.
What?
A lot of blue dong. I'll take the wiener.
Blue dong? I was going to say...
I mean, at this point, I'm totally going to have to name this. I'll take the wiener.
I'm just rolling with it.
Randy takes the wiener. Oh, boy.
I was going to say something along those lines. More slow-mo, which will look great if there's more blue dong.
It's true.
And more Smashing Pumpkins.
It is HBO, so slow motion swinging blue dong seems reasonable.
I mean, I mainly want some Michael Giacchino soundtrack.
Yeah.
And maybe some Jack Bender direction going on in this. I would love if Lindelof could pull in some of his buddies from both The Leftovers and Lost into both the writer's room and in the directing roles.
Here's a possible change. What if instead of being set in New York in the 1980s, it is set in a small Texas town that is also a lost island?
O-M-G. I mean, I wonder if there's going to be a little bit of a stumbling going on in that first season. Like when he did Leftovers, you know, he was in a depressed funk.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's funny. We talked last week about the Farachi thing in Alamo Drafthouse on our Patreon mini. But Farachi was a factor in a lot of that bad vibes for Lindelof because
that's true.
He was a complete shithead to him. But
wonder what happened to that guy.
But you know, I think he's in higher spirits. He came off of a high in how The Leftovers finished and critically acclaimed. So
I don't know. I think for Watchmen, you want to be in a headspace where you're like, oh, the world's gonna end. Which I mean, okay.
We have that potential in our current climate. So, all right, let's move on to the next question. Jonathan Haptemichael says, hi, dudes. Looking back on non-Spice-related parts of the primetime Emmys, I noticed that the only really big win for network television was Sterling K. Brown winning lead actor in a drama series for This Is Us. SNL and The Voice winning a handful of awards helps. But 23 of the 28 awards going to cable and streaming should be a wake-up call for ABC, CBS, and Fox, and NBC, maybe a little bit. What advice would you give to the broadcast networks to improve their content? No cheating, like, do better, or cancel The Big Bang Theory and Young Sheldon, which... Not bad that advice, Jonathan.
We just repeated that over and over again during our Emmys coverage. Every time that commercial would come up, it'd
young
just be like,
Sheldon.
Fuck Young Sheldon. I think somebody's already started this. Well, maybe. We'll see. But I think that what CBS is doing with Star Trek Discovery, where they're taking it to their online platform as a way to get more people to, you know, jump on the CBS All Access app, I feel like... doing something like that, taking a huge property of yours and making it exclusive digital content, gives you this great opportunity to hook people. Because we've already talked about it. We're going to cancel CBS All Access after Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah.
But what if they use this time to start launching a lot of new content? Stuff they can't put on the network. Stuff they can only put on there, like their version of Daredevil or Punisher, whatever. 13 Reasons Why. You know, the darker stuff.
Yeah. I mean... networks seem to have a problem with they've sculpted out a particular brand and a safety net for who they are and what they identify with, and part of that calculation means that the overlords will have certain demands about like restricting creativity when they even bring on really interesting creators to particular properties. And that also makes them hesitant to promote anything that goes a little bit too far outside of the bounds of their brand. Yeah. So, for example, when they bring in someone like Brian Fuller to ABC and give him Pushing Daisies, they're going to still back off from wanting to put that in a good prime spot, like load up a whole bunch of advertisement on it because it's weird. It's a little bit too weird for them to want it back because it doesn't fully fit with the rest of their brand. I think they need to put a little bit more trust in people that push boundaries and have a strong voice on their networks. They need to give them more creative freedom, which is what we see going on over at FX, at AMC, at HBO, over on Netflix and Hulu now. Like, these people are saying, trust me, I will drive a vision for you. And I mean, even USA seems like USA took a risk against their formula and their style to pick up and Mr. Robot. And yeah, that's like a deviation from their brand. And it was gangbusters for him. It gained him a lot of success. And I think that's what they need to start doing.
I think that's essentially they need to give up the brand they've had for the last 10, 20, 30 years, whatever it is, whatever ABC's brand, Fox's brand. It's not working for them.
Well, you know what's funny about just talking about brand, and I hate to interrupt, but they all care so much about their brand. But you look at CBS, ABC, NBC, and Fox to some extent, although I think Fox is probably the most out there, they're all the exact same.
Yeah.
They all are just indistinguishable. We're constantly asking each other what show is on what network.
Yeah, none of it helps them. Your brand helps you. Like, Netflix's brand helps it.
Yeah.
But your brands are not helping. So get away from your brand and just find some shows. Like, This Is Us is a breakout hit for NBC, but they can't launch anything off of it because it doesn't tie into anything else they do.
I mean, This Is Us fits in the same saccharine formula as their Parenthood and Friday Night Lights. Like, I get that.
Yeah.
Like, that works for them, but they can't just keep piggybacking off of that because I think that's a problem because they'll dilute the impact that they have with how great that is.
Right.
And like, that's another problem that seems to happen. Like, I feel like ABC seems to be cranking out all these comedies and they seem to be doing well. They're actually able to target diverse like groups of like family dynamics.
Right.
And
yeah,
like, that's interesting, but I also feel like they're kind of falling into this pattern of doing the same thing. Like, spin the wheel. This demographic, this is the comedy, let's run it through the formula and spin it out. Just like CBS does it with their multi-cam sitcom machine. Mm-hmm. Like, we get these actors, we put them in front of a live studio audience. It's a family dynamic. Things are a little bit quirky, but not too edgy.
Right.
And now presenting Three Broke Girls.
Don't even joke. Don't even joke about that. Why would you do that to me?
We'll let the laugh track just kind of carry when people should be informed, and we'll just target old people. Like, they need to push away from that. Like, Person of Interest was a great move for them as well. Like, they brought in the Nolans, and I think, or at least, the less impressive Nolan, Jonathan Nolan, they brought him in, and he was able to push a show that seems like it might not even be a part of like CBS network otherwise, and it did kind of well for them. And I'm not sure they necessarily like recognized and embraced that as much as they should have.
Here's the one bit of advice I would give to every network: 13 episodes. Do not make any more 22 episode shows. 13 episodes.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. More content for us. Ugh.
What about Star Trek? Do you think that should be the same for Star Trek?
It is going to be only 13.
Star Trek's 13.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
I was like, they're going to do 30 of these.
No.
Easy.
I mean, This Is Us is longer than 13, I believe, but I generally don't think that that's a good idea. It worked for them, but people are going to get tired of your shows faster if they're 22-episode seasons.
I could see 22 episodes of The Good Place. Mike, sure, if you're listening,
no.
Go ahead.
No, I disagree.
What?
I love the tight 13 of Good Place. I mean, yes, I'm excited for season 2.
Leaves you wanting more.
But I want more, exactly. It's No, 13 episodes, man. 13 episodes.
Well, I hope we gave some answers that were a little bit better than Do Better.
Also, ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC, we are all available for hire.
Oh, I need to change
PBS.
My shirt.
same to you guys. Yeah. I know you don't pay as much. But
PBS, we can bring that. Yeah, we can bring life to PBS.
CW.
We're the viewers like you.
All right, last question comes to us from Jonathan Huffnagel. It is I, your Resident Evil twin. That's how I imagine his voice is.
Yes.
At this point. With Halloween steadily approaching, I thought it apt to condition my next series of questions toward this most delightful time of year.
I'm liking this.
Have you ever wondered if one of your fellow TV dudes may secretly be a werewolf?
Fuck yeah.
What?
Fuck yeah.
I want to do the thing where we count to three and we all say the person's name at the same time.
While shapeshifters and mutant creatures are amazing to behold, werewolves are my favorite movie monster. I can't keep this voice up, by the way.
No, no, keep going.
Don't break.
There is something appealing about the animal nature suppressed inside man. Werewolves simply personify this primal beast. I like the duality of a man-wolf to...
By the way, I love seeing how long this question is.
It's so long. That's why I was like, I shouldn't be doing it this way. I like the duality of a wolf to both nurture family and kill without evil or remorse. It is man who adds the potential evil into the werewolf. Some werewolves may unlock this evil inside, remove our inhibitions, or simply push us past red lines that our human side never cross.
Oh, guys. Just skip to the end. Just skip to the end.
I wonder if some of these lines...
Should I really?
Yeah,
I
just skip to the end.
No lie, I think he's doing voiceover for like a project of his, and he's just snuck in all these lines he wants you to say so he can go make his animated feature.
Great. Remember that voice-activated lock you put all the Patreon content under? He's getting the code. He's getting all the words so he can break down the code.
All right, I'm going to read this in non-voice. Right now, the TV dudes can make four individual television characters into secret werewolves.
Fuck yeah.
They were not recently bitten, but these characters have been keeping this secret for a while now and may have been born with a gift or curse. The first of these werewolves is a dark side of the subject personified and is more like the cunning sadistic demon that may kill for fun. Second variety is a classic tragic archetype that loses control of his mind and body, may kill their loved ones. Third werewolf's a heroic variety, retaining their human mind, and it's Jacob from Twilight.
Sure.
And the last variety is split personality, Jekyll Hyde, Nutty Professor, etc. Not necessarily evil, simple representation of the character's suppressed desires. Oh my gosh. So we have to pick four of these? Is that what four characters
together,
would you pick
each.
For
yeah,
each
four,
type
four
and
together,
why?
Four together. This is why we should read the questions before we start.
I think that Daryl from The Walking Dead would be an awesome heroic werewolf. He already is a hunter-gatherer for guns and crossbow, and he's if he ever got bitten, zombie werewolf.
All right, so I'm going to pull up a list of shows. And you, if anyone has an idea before I pull up a,
well, I
pull
think
up a list.
For heroic, we should find somebody who's not normally heroic.
Yeah.
So they can get the werewolf powers and then be heroic.
Okay, let's go with, what's her name?
By the way, have you guys ever read that werewolf comic that, Walking Dead, Invincible, what's it, Robert Kirkman did?
Werewolf comic?
Yeah, it's called, like, The Astonishing Werewolf.
Oh, Astonishing Wolfman, yeah. Yeah,
oh, Astonishing
yep,
Wolfman.
Yep, I did.
I really like that book.
It was
kind
of fun. Yeah.
I would like to say April Ludgate from Parks and Rec is secretly a werewolf.
Okay.
But only in her mind. She cosplays as a werewolf at night, acts like she totally turned into a werewolf, and she goes around attempting to bite people, and Andy has to go and stop her and be like, all right, relax, relax. It's totally awesome that you think you're a werewolf. I'm with you on that, but we can't go biting people.
All right. I actually have four.
Oh, you've planned
ahead. I
found
four, so here I go. No, I didn't plan it. I just came up with it. So my cunning, sadistic demon who may kill for fun, that's John Oliver. He turns into that kind of werewolf. The second variety, the classic tragic archetype, lose control, mind and body, might kill their own loved ones, Trevor Noah. Heroic werewolf, Samantha Bee.
Okay.
And the last variety, split personality, is Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh,
I see. I thought you were going to say Bill Maher.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, because he doesn't know if he's white or black.
I stole that joke from the Emmys. All right, so let's start with the renewals. Let's start with a couple quick renewals.
Oh, yeah.
BoJack Horseman, which we're going to be talking about in a couple weeks. We're saving it for Ashley because it's a show she really likes. And that's why we haven't covered it yet.
You're killing me with that.
Sorry.
I was like, hey, let's talk about this. And you're like, no.
We got to save it for Ashley.
Ashley called dibs and she'll be here in 3 months. I'm like, no.
That's not what I said.
We'll be talking about it by the time the next season comes up.
The next season is coming. Season 5 has been officially announced, which is awesome because I've still not watched season 1 of BoJack.
Oh.
And I really need to because I love seasons 2 and 3.
It's a different tone. It was a little bit more awkward trying to figure out what it wanted to be.
Yeah, and that's the thing. But I really like season 2 and 3. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Maybe it's stronger than I remember.
So new season's been ordered. Also, The Deuce season 2 has already been ordered by HBO. Which
Shocker!
That's great.
Well, a show like The Deuce, you think they have to order 2? Like, you can't just order 1 Deuce.
What are you, Two-Face?
Sorry.
The once.
And then there's one more. This isn't so much a renewal as a new series. Currently, according to Screen Rant, Game of Thrones writer-producer, is it Brian Cogman, is developing a fifth TV spinoff of Game of Thrones.
I mean, they really want to do a bunch of Game of Thrones spinoffs, and I'm not sure even one is a good idea.
Well, do you know why there's 5?
Why are there 5?
Because they're only going to produce one. So the idea is that they're going to write 5 scripts for 5 totally different shows. I haven't heard anything about shooting 5 pilots, but they're going to have 5 ideas, all from different eras within the Game of Thrones story. The two that are out is they're definitely not going to do Robert's Rebellion. And then I think the one right before that, I forget.
The Duncan Egg or something like
that.
Yeah,
and then they're not going to do that one either.
Oh, that's interesting. I would have thought that would have been the contention for it.
The one I'm kind of excited about is I've been reading about Aegon's Conquest.
Okay.
He was the Targaryen king who was married to both of his sisters who were also super hot smoking blondes.
I'm in. You have my attention.
Yeah, I'm done.
I mean, do you think it's going to be any good? Like, I just don't know why we would go back to this world again.
I have 3 words for you.
Okay.
Better Call Saul.
No, that's a good point.
I mean, I understand the skepticism, but the same people on board, they could deliver something very different. This world is plenty interesting. You could definitely do other stuff with it. I believe, and I don't know what these 4, I haven't done my research yet, so I'm going to just guess what these other 4 shows are. There's a bro comedy called All About Horses that is all about the guys. It's Dothraki. It's just a Dothraki buddy comedy. It's like Entourage, but on horses.
All About Horses.
All About Horses. There's a story about the assassins, the Faceless Men.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not about how they go out being assassins and everything. It's actually about how they cure and draw the faces. It's actually more like a face-off kind of
You know what it's
show.
Called, though?
What's it called?
Faceless Off.
Faceless Off, yes,
Faceless
exactly.
Off. I like it.
There's a story that is actually, it's all about what Rickon was up to during all of this. It's all about Rickon.
What's that one called?
It's called Game of Thrones Babies. That's it.
Game of Thrones Babies.
Yeah. Yes. And finally, there's a show about the dragons and the wonderful dream life they have inside their heads. It's all animated and it's all good for kids.
I am pretty confident that every single one of your shows is going to get made because it was great.
Yeah.
Well, Puff the Targaryen Dragon.
Puff the Targaryen Dragon.
But, okay, what I was actually going to say is I'm really confident that all of the shows that are being, that there's a script being drafted for right now are prequels.
Yeah, well, I think you're right.
And that's because I'm pretty sure that this is going to end in the most tragic way with everyone dead.
I still don't see that happening.
The world taking over my White Walker.
But I don't think another series would work if they did it like that. What, like, could you be as invested if you know, well, at the end,
eventually everybody's going to die.
Yeah, everybody's going to die.
I also, like, I don't buy into the Better Call Saul as a template argument because when you have an ensemble cast kind of epic drama going on like this, the expectation is that the stakes are super high, whereas what's going on with Better Call Saul is it's a very personal drama. It's a very introspective, personal. Like you know the end goal of Saul, but you're kind of watching him transform into something else. Whereas this other show, I mean, we know where the world is at. I don't know. I don't see. with a big spanning epic like that, it's going to be as riveting in the world when we already are kind of familiar with history.
Another thing too, and this is something I read earlier today, that the one of the guys who's going to be, you know, heading up the writer's room for the new project, regardless of which one they pick, his reputation right now, I can't remember the guy's name.
Brian Cogman.
Yeah. So his reputation is he's like the keeper of the canon.
He's written a lot of the best episodes.
Yeah. And it's like anytime, like he's always like, even those two main guys have even said like he's the one who calls us on stuff.
But also, I believe we've talked about this before, if the White Walkers do take over everything, then the obvious show as a follow-up is a office drama of 100 years in the future where the White Walkers are just all working in an office.
It would be interesting to watch Easteros, where all these people are like, oh man, don't go west. It's scary over there. We got some new neighbors, and they are just not so friendly.
And you know what I call that show? Dear White People.
I mean, what if instead of like White Walkers, we get another drama where it's a bunch of fire people?
Yeah.
Bunch of lava people crawling out of lava.
Lava men.
To invade Easteros.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right, what
HBO,
else?
HBO, give us a call. We can fix you too.
We're going to have so much work.
I know, right? Don't worry, people. We'll still do the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if you guys have heard this, but The Defenders is the least viewed Marvel Netflix series yet.
Wow.
I'm going to guess that's partly because Iron Fist was the most watched, and people were like, oh, fuck this.
Yeah, you really screwed the pooch with that Iron Fist Netflix.
Yeah.
And now they're feeling it. I'm wondering what the conversations are like behind closed doors at Netflix right now.
We were all excited about The Defenders. And then Iron Fist happened, and we were all a lot less excited about it.
You know what? Can we wrap this in with the Punisher trailer that came out?
Yeah, let's talk about the Punisher trailer that came out today. Yeah.
Because I'm not interested. I don't know if I'm that guy, but I liked Jon Bernthal a bit, but it just looks like revenge fantasy porn. And it looks like, there's this one scene of him walking down a hallway and pumping shots into these bodies of people that just felt like just fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, this is just a bunch of dudes who really enjoyed the gritty bullshit of Sons of Anarchy high-fiving each other over these scenes.
It's the wrong time for The Punisher. And the way they're doing it, Netflix is not, they're not the people doing it. I don't know what happened. I should be the target audience for their shows.
Well, they really embraced the Marvel Knights gritty, dark kind of scene rather than trying to do the exciting, optimistic superhero angle, which they totally still could have done with all of them, including Punisher, if they really wanted to. And it's just disappointing that they want to go so dark with it that it's just off-putting to me. It's like, that's not the flavor I want. That's why I don't like it when they do it over on DC Films.
Yeah.
Well, this is a Hail Mary, because if this is another flop, I don't see how they're going to be able to generate any enthusiasm for more Daredevil, maybe more Jessica Jones.
I agree.
I mean, who's to say that they can't do the same thing and screw that show up like they screwed up all these other ones?
Yeah, I agree. I think Marvel's TV needs a reboot, and it certainly needs a lot less Jeff Loeb.
Yeah.
So we talked about this a little bit. Is there more to say about HBO greenlighting the Watchmen pilot?
No, not really.
Okay. They greenlit a pilot. And finally, this is probably the most exciting news. Jordan Peele is developing a 1970s Nazi hunting TV series called The Hunt.
Aw, yeah. Jordan Peele, who you might know from Key and Peele, as well as the summer blockbuster hit, Get Out.
Here's the thing. He's already working on Lovecraft Country.
Mm.
So, and he's going to direct this. So I'm like, this guy's busy.
Man. Must be awesome taking phone calls on his phone these days.
Yeah, I love Jordan Peele. It's funny because Keegan-Michael Key... Mm-hmm. is the guy who was very much the front man of the two of them. Like, he's the guy who's in everything, and he was in all these different shows. But while he's off doing Friends from College and stuff like that, Jordan Peele is turning himself into a different kind of guy, and it's working out for him.
Yeah, Keegan-Michael Key is also on USA, some show over there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
But so this is set in the 70s, follows a group of Nazi hunters. They set on a quest to track down Nazis who, with the help of the U.S. government, have managed to escape justice and instill themselves in American society. I don't think this is very timely. is my only problem with it. There's not a Nazi problem that we're dealing with.
So perfect timing. Okay. Yeah. I'm on board.
Yeah.
This sounds fascinating.
I guess we don't know. It hasn't been assigned anywhere, but cable networks and streaming services are interested.
Well, sign me up. All right, guys. So first up, we are going to talk about Broad City. We're going to follow that up with Better Things. And then we're going to end on Netflix's new American Vandal, which hopefully you guys have checked out. But first off, Broad City's back. What
Broad
you guys
City's
think?
Back.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah. Kyle, how much of Broad City have you watched? Watched all of it? Or?
I think I'm a few episodes behind last season, but besides that, everything else.
So I've never seen the movie Sliding Doors.
Never seen the movie. I am not sure what movie that is either.
It's a movie where Gwyneth Paltrow goes through and like sees alternate versions of herself, basically alternate. And that's what this episode was. They mentioned if you watch the tail end on the Comedy Central app, there's a little behind the scenes where Abby and Alana talk about the show and the movie that inspired it. And they're both big Sliding Doors fan. I'm like, okay, never seen the movie, but this was a fun episode because it's basically going and showing how Abby and Alana met and a possible alternate reality where they meet differently. And what I like was the sort of the fake out that it's like, oh, that they're miserable when they're apart from each other, but the day that they're like if they meet and they're happy, they get hit by a bus.
Yeah.
that was a funny takeaway, I thought.
No, and this definitely shows a range and is a more creative way of storytelling, something that we haven't seen on the show in the past. And it gets me really excited. It makes me think about when Amy Schumer did that 12 Angry Men episode.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was just, I feel like they're sitting in their writer's room looking at this season going, let's not do the same thing we've been doing. How do we push this?
Well, you know, last season they sort of broke out a little bit because they did like a New York episode that felt almost like a Louis C.K. kind of thing.
Huh.
And so I feel like, yeah, they're experimenting a little bit. But it did give us some backstory on Abby and Alana. The little bit of like her gay boyfriend cracked me up.
Oh, that was great.
That was a great little bit. Like, if you know the show, that was a really funny little bit.
Also, the Bevers bit where we see Bevers and he's
that
like
was,
ripped.
That was the worst CGI I have ever seen in my life, but I think that was intentional because they've put Bevers' head on this like ripped dude's body and it does not look, it looks bad. And I feel like that was intentional.
Man, and I love the little exchange they have where it's the first time they've met and Bevers is like, so just for the record, you never want me to clean up or contribute to the fridge or anything as long as I'm here.
Yep. Yeah, it was lots of great nods for people who've been watching it. And I thought it was really, really funny and I'm glad to have it back.
Yeah. Just need to get Hannibal Buress back on the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what about Better Things?
So this was, I thought, a quieter episode back, actually. This was a show that I really liked.
So this is Pamela Adlon as like a...
So Pamela Adlon's an actress.
And a mom.
And a mom with three kids. All the kids, and her mom is also, her older mom lives in the house next door to them. They're all male names. Her 16-year-old daughter's named Max. Her other daughters are named Duke and what's the middle daughter's name? You remember?
Gerald.
I don't remember the middle name. But I do remember it's a guy's name.
The lead character's name is Sam, and her mom's name is Phil. So like, it's all guy names, which is one of the bits.
Yeah.
And this is all about. This starts with like a big party, like a house party at her place. And clearly some shit has happened. Like, I don't know about you. I was, like, watching it thinking, did I forget something that happened?
Oh, yeah. They definitely start the episode off, and you are missing a piece of the story.
Yeah.
Like, they have been busy since last season.
Yeah.
And I guess, should we talk about that? Because it kind of starts the show off.
It does.
So, we start off the beginning of this season realizing that her agent, who I love that actress, she was in Shaun of the Dead.
Mm-hmm. She's great. Lucy Punch? No. Lucy something. Lucy Davis.
Sounds good to me.
Sure.
But no, at the end of last season, she was dating this guy. It seemed kind of like the joke that they were going to play is that he's an Italian and it was going to be some green card thing because he was like levels noticeably, you know, more attractive than she was.
Yeah.
But then we get to the beginning of this season and we find out, no, he instead decided to go for Sam's
16-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
And he's 17 now, I guess.
35-year-old Italian man.
Yeah.
With a 16-year-old girlfriend.
It's creepy.
Well, and it's also, I feel like this episode was so smart because you're put in that situation as soon as the reveal happens where, all right, I can freak out about this like I know I want to, but then my daughter's not here at this party. Mm-hmm. So instead, I just have to grit my teeth and hope that she sees, you know, the reason of her ways.
Right. Well, and there's also, like, there's other stuff going on. There's a couple that's gotten divorced, and they're at the party.
Yeah, that's right.
And
the wife's got her new man with him.
Yes.
I'll tell you, when Sam told off her best friend's husband last season, that was one of my favorite moments of the whole show.
Yeah.
It's just because it's really easy to write off that character as a fouled mouth, you know, kind of run-of-the-mill comedy character, but there's so much depth, and she cares so much for her children and her friends, and we don't see it in what she says. We see it in, like, these actions. And, yeah, I feel like this is a great episode illustrating all those things I'm talking about.
Yeah. And also, Duke is clearly turning into the kind of a standard younger character, the sociopathic younger character.
Oh.
We've seen this in the Mick and Malcolm in the Middle. Mm-hmm. The young kid is always messed up. And Duke's, like, truth or dares to her friend are deeply messed up. And there's a bit, there's a joke that's early on. They're, like, doing the second dare. And she's like, I'm not going to do that. And the other girl's like, I did it. And that cracked me up. That was just so wrong.
Yeah, because I think the dare was something along the lines of,
it
like,
pretty bad.
Yeah, it's just perfectly just still. And she goes, stick 3 Legos up your vagina.
It's like 10-year-olds, by the way.
And they're like 10-year-olds, yeah. No, I don't want to. Do it.
You did a dare. You took a dare.
Why'd you say dare?
Yeah. This show is messed up. I mean, it's co-written by and co-created by Louis C.K. It's got Louis' sense of humor, but it's filtered through a feminine voice, and I really like this show.
And I feel like these family comedies, we're constantly watching them. This is the closest thing to, like, a real family I think I've seen lately. Easy. Like, this is actually what kids do, you know? They tell their friends to stick Legos up their vagina. We're weird people.
Yeah, me and my friends, that's just always how it went down.
Yeah.
Not once.
Twice. No, sorry.
So, moving on to American Vandal over on Netflix. The Serial, I believe, is the show that probably most kicked off the true crime, like, genre for podcasts, for TV shows. Mm-hmm. Followed that up with HBO's The Jinx, and then over on Netflix we had Making a Murderer.
Yep.
These shows were huge, and now, you know, inevitably we get a quote unquote true crime show. So this is I wouldn't say it's a mockumentary, but it's a fictionalized true crime story that has humorous elements, but it's not going for the joke in the traditional easy joke manner that you would think.
No, it took me a couple episodes to really get into what they were doing here, because it is a dead-on, note-perfect version of these documentary shows, complete with, like, twist reveals and new theories and new characters. Like, it is exactly like Making a Murderer, except that instead of being about a murder or a serial murderer or anything like that, it's about a dude who drew a bunch of dicks on teachers' cars.
It is. This takes place in a high school in, I'm guessing, Southern California.
Yeah.
And the premise is that a kid named Tyler Maxwell, is that right? Dylan Maxwell.
Dylan Maxwell.
A kid named Dylan Maxwell is getting suspended for presumably drawing, spray painting 27 dicks on 27 faculty cars on a Saturday, on an off day. And there was a potential witness. And yeah, he's kind of getting railroaded by the system, but he's also got a shitty past that would make a lot of people think he did it.
And he seems like the guy who would do it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So these two other high school kids that are part of the journalism division of their high school decide to set out to make an investigative documentary, like talking to him, talking to the witnesses, trying to clear his name or at least get to the bottom of the whole matter.
Yeah.
But the kids that set out to do this, Peter Maldonado is the main kid. His buddy Sam Eklund joins him. They make for great unreliable narrators and in part not unreliable, but poor journalists because they're young and they're wet behind the ears.
Yes.
And so they make mistakes that believably high school kids would make in how they, you know, treat other people roughly because they're mimicking what they've seen on TV of how you do this kind of investigative journalism.
I have to say, there were several laugh out loud moments for me, but mostly I got super wrapped up in the story of you can't say there's no consequence. I mean, obviously not a murder, but this kid is, you know, on the hook for $100,000 in damage. He's getting expelled. It's like the end of his college dreams. Like, it's not without consequences. It is just played for – it's a smaller scale, and they play it that way. But I got real into sort of like, wait a minute, what? That's a big reveal. Like, I was totally into the story.
Well, and I feel like something like this, where we're used to seeing it, like true crime or like a non-fictionalized, we always look at this and we're like, oh, this is better than some of the stories we read.
Yeah.
But it's like if you take those elements and you actually write a story around it, they have so many tools to play with, narratively speaking. And then given these characters too, which all of these are really thought out and developed characters.
Yeah.
The acting is fantastic. My favorite by far is Dylan Maxwell, who is the dumb dude accused of this.
Yep.
The actor Jimmy Tatro, who plays him, is perfect. He is brilliant, and he's so like believably aloof to the ramifications of his actions before and like the things he says. I just bought into all of it. He's hilarious from the start, and you just got this big, dumb, dopey way of saying things.
But unless he's doing Kiefer Sutherland. I'm Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, that sounds just like him. Him and his way back boys. Just,
oh, man.
I thought this is stupid at first. And then I was just like, I was like the viewing audience that that eventually catches up with the series.
Yep.
I was with them and like, yeah, I kind of love this at this point.
You
get this glimpse into these characters and just like how the audience started loving them. I was just like, I'm in this. I'm engaged and I'm invested.
I was into all the characters. I loved the reveals of the story about, you know, Dylan's girlfriend or the spray can or the, you know, like the set piece, like the episode that's all set at the big party and how that became important. And
the 3D models too.
The 3D models.
Like the dock and the hand
dock
job.
And the dick.
Yes. And you can see that like the little model's got a boner.
Man. The like 10-minute analysis of how many whys are in a hay.
Yeah.
Like, so, such a dead-on riff.
They had, I mean, this felt very in tune with a younger generation's culture, how it integrated into a documentary, you know, like Snapchat and people using videos on Instagram and doing private stuff using Twitch. Like, this is very much how kids currently document their lives and how you can access that, trace that to unravel clues.
Yeah.
It just felt like very smart in that regard. It felt very smart in how they have these kids talk to one another. It felt real and grounded in a way that's pretty impressive to achieve in also going for a documentary because, you know, it seems so easy to kind of fall back on the dick joke and just like lay into that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So many other shows would do that, but they like, you know, they fall in it a little bit with like, oh, the ball hair and like look at the mushroom head tip on this. But
the best is when he's talking to a teacher and he's like, well, what about the ball hair? And the teacher's like, what are you talking about?
Get out of my office.
I also think that one of the things that Netflix does really well is introducing new people who are going to wind up in other shows. Like, we've seen them do this with Orange is the New Black. We saw them introduce a bunch of people in 13 Reasons Why. Mm-hmm. We've seen, like, they are basically bringing new young actors, giving them roles to shine, and then we're going to show up at other places. So all these actors, like all these people playing high school kids, they're all going to be in other Netflix shows. Like they're basically grooming their own talent while they do these shows. And that's really smart.
Well, if you ask me, 13 Reasons Why, Atypical, and this, I feel like they have got just a perfect grip on that age group, like how those types of characters act. Like nobody is building thought out teenage characters like these guys are doing.
Watch out, CW. They're coming for you.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay, my favorite moment I just want to mention is the Alex Trimboli guy is like a serial liar about everything. Yeah. And one of his like running lies was that he drank 11 beers at a party.
Yeah.
I love that they never actually say it, but they basically show that the person who did drink 11 beers at the party was Ming.
Ming, yeah.
They show like, wait, like they had some offhand reference, like comment like, wait, is that like beer number 9 for him? But then they get like distracted and like stop talking about it.
That's really good.
But it was actually like him stealing like what happened to this Ming guy.
Oh, that's really good. I like that.
So
I hadn't even thought about that, but that makes a lot of sense.
It was just, I was just cracking up.
Well, and I love that you said that because I feel like the show does two things really well. The first is you see like the roundabout way they go about figuring out who drew these dicks, and you realize that most of the work they did was just pointless. It was
dead
leads. It was obsessing over stuff they didn't need to obsess about, like who got what hand job. But then when you get to the end, and spoilers, turn off the podcast if you want. but no, when you find out, or when they are able to prove his innocence, and he just like you see the way that people treat him after the fact, and he just reverts to, you know, drawing a dick on his teacher's driveway. But had that teacher just taken a second to like, you know, be like, oh, you can do better, you know, even especially after he's back in the school, you know, and he's wanting to do better.
Yeah.
But nobody gave this guy a shot, and he just never had a chance. He was always going to be the dick drawer. You know, whether or not he actually drew the dicks.
Yeah.
There is some very honest commentary on how kids treat each other.
Yeah.
The callousness of it. And, you know, the heroes of our show here, Peter Maldonado and Sam Eklund, it shows how, you know, in their hero's quest to exonerate this Dylan Maxwell kid, they burned bridges and fucked over some people, like they I guess in a way doxed people's like privacy. They they showed that girl topless and like and ruined her relationship, ruined her future prospects, all in the quest of trying to like help out this other guy. And it's like, oh yeah, I mean, these aren't like the heroes you really want to root for. They're kind of shitty kids that are in over their heads and not really thinking about what they're doing.
Well, it kind of reminds me of the main kid from 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah.
Where the whole time you're just like, I know you fucked up. What was it? Let me see it.
I want to throw one more recommendation out, though, which is, and I don't know if we ever talked about this in the podcast much, but people who like this and want a weirder take on it should watch Trial and Error on NBC.
Oh, okay.
Because that was it was another mockumentary about a murder trial. But it was like where this is like a very serious rendition of a non-serious crime. That was a goofy as fuck rendition of an actual serious crime. Like there's a murder and it's basically like a 30 Rock Parks and Rec take on it.
What was that where it's like the roller skating tracks and the blood?
Yep.
I think I caught the first episode and I don't know why I didn't stick with it.
I wound up loving that show. It's a 13 episodes.
Ah, that's the magic number.
It was really funny, and I think people who liked American Vandal would like that. I think a lot of people didn't see it. It's on Hulu.
It's very. I'm curious how they're going to do a second season because apparently they've been
greenlit
for a second one. I thought the same thing about 13 Reasons Why, though. So I don't know.
13 more reasons.
Well, I totally know what they're going to do next season.
Oh yeah.
I really think they're going to do school shooting. I think it's going to be the photography
kid. 13
reasons.
Yeah,
for sure.
But for this,
I hope they don't 14 to 26.
I hope they don't try another bullshit. Like cassette tapes. I say they just keep the name of the show the same, but then they explore the lives of the characters that remain.
Yeah,
maybe it'll be a notebook where he wrote the 13 kids.
That could be.
Yeah, and then they have to pass it around again. Whatever.
But or maybe he's on trial, and throughout the trial, they reveal the 13 reasons.
You know, that was how Broadchurch did a season 2, so it's not impossible. But what are they doing with American Vandal? Like, follow. Actually, if you were to follow like what these kids are like when they go to college. If Peter Maldonado decides to make another project or something, I could see that.
I really want to see another project in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you could very easily...
I mean, they're sophomores, so it's got
room. Right.
Yeah. There's that. Or they could have been working on a project at the same time as this. Like, maybe the two seasons cross over.
Right.
Because it's documentary filmmaking, you can do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
It'd be cool to visit some of those characters earlier in the story where they didn't like have their information doxed or they were still together in a relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Anyway, I give this a high approval. Go check this show out if you guys get a chance. It's really good.
I also think, too, if you get to the end of the first episode, actually, if you get to the end of the second episode and you're not hooked, I think it's probably a good time. But get through those first two episodes because they're really funny. And for some people, you may not be into that kind of humor, but it definitely becomes all about the story and the narrative. And
it gets engrossing. Yeah.
Yeah. And you just get sucked in.
Yeah, it took me a couple episodes. Once I got in, I loved it.
Yeah, I think episode two had a really good cliffhanger at the end of it, and that kind of pulled me for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, this has been the episode of...
What? No, what are you talking about? TV Dudes Out?
No.
TV Dicks Out.
What's the title of this episode again?
It's something about boobs and broads or something.
No, Randy. No? All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in. And
I'll take the wiener.
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast and a member of the Permanent Record Podcast Network. We are exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, please go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and Twitter @TV Dudes and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com and permanentrcrd.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.